At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents the second annual Reggie and Ron Radiothon, benefiting the Houston Food Bank. Here's Reggie Atitula and Ron Hughley.
All right, that's it, man. We're rolling through it, man. We got 3 hours left, baby. You good?
I'm great. Even greater seeing that the Andre Johnson autographed Hall of Fame photo of him whooping Courtland Finnegan's you-know-what.
His ass.
It's gone. That's gone. It's bought straight out. They paid straight up for it. And so if you were bidding on that, whatever your bid was, you might want to take that to one of these other auction items, see if you can get something fun elsewhere. Or, you know, just go ahead and drop it straight up on the Houston Food Bank by texting Radiothon 26 to the number 71777.
That's right. As we are trying to raise as much as we can for the great people over at the Houston Food Bank, as they have they've been doing work for years. They service over a million people, over 18 counties here in the Houston area, and every amount helps. $1 services 3 meals, so please help us out. And as Reggie said, you can text Radiothon 26, all one word, Radiothon 26 to 71777, and we would love for you to help us be able to help the Houston Food Bank, as we got three more hours left until 6 o'clock. We've been going 6 a.m. on the Radiothon, and it's been a great fun time here, and we appreciate everybody who has helped us out. All right, we are so happy to be joined by, and you hear him every Sunday with the Houston Texans. Hell, you hear him on Saturdays too, if you're watching college football. Andre Ware, former. Well, I guess you're never a former. You're always a Heisman Trophy.
That's
winner.
Right.
Yeah, you're always. That's just not a former. Yeah,
they're gonna have to pry it out of his cold dead hands if they want him.
A Heisman Trophy winner, Andre. We appreciate you joining us, man. Thank you so much for taking time out and hanging out with us for a little bit.
And my pleasure, guys. I first want to commend you guys for what you're doing. Second annual. Anytime you can get out or help the community in any way, shape, or form, that's a soft spot in my heart. So big ups to you guys for what you're doing.
Appreciate it. All right, we were just kind of talking about CJ a little bit, and you've watched every one of his games that he's played for the Texans, and clearly, you know, depending on how much of a drop-off you think it is, there's been a difference from where he was in year one when he had that amazing rookie season where he finished eighth in the MVP to where we are today. And I'm curious, from your standpoint, playing the position, having experience of what he's going through firsthand, what would you say has been, from your eyes, the biggest difference or change that's led to him taking a step back a bit over the last couple of years?
I think it's the offensive scheme change. And with that, bear with me. I went through three offensive coordinators in 4 years when I was at in Detroit. You talk about a young player, that's tough. And so I think he's experiencing some of that. Yeah, he's a pro. Yeah, he should, but he hadn't been in it long enough to have played in a couple of offenses where you say, okay, this matches with this. I think under Slowik, the first 2 years, they made an effort to get him some of the stuff that he was comfortable with at Ohio State. And so we saw arguably his best season his first year there. And then when you start the changes and the switching of terminology, it's like starting all over again. And so it's like starting a job for most listeners where you don't have a lot of experience in that job, and you're kind of learning on the job, so to speak. And I think that's exactly what he went through last year at times. There were times even early in the season when the team started rolling on that 9-game winning streak that he just didn't look himself. And I think it's the offensive scheme. And until he gets comfortable in it and until they give him some stuff that he wants, then you might the struggle may continue a little while.
We're talking to Andre Ware, and Andre, I mean, maybe this is an unfair question to ask and to put you in, but like, is there something that to your eye seems like the evident way to make it more easier for him to acclimate to what this offense is clearly trying to do?
Yeah, sometimes it's just, Reg, it's just as simple as calling and running it, and it's something that during the week they've gone over in terms of game planning. Hey, do you like this? Do you like that? You can't really ever force anything on a quarterback and say, hey, just go run this. And if he doesn't like it and he goes in the game with it, then the likelihood of that play or that string of plays being successful are not very high. And so I think just that, just get him in some 2-minute stuff and just let him go and let him call it. Let him call what he's comfortable with. I'm not saying that, you know, it's a big diet of it and it has to happen every single week, but that's a fix for when you are struggling, is just let him go. Call plays and let him go run them.
I'm listening to as you're talking about this, and then you explained your experience of having that many schemes and offenses and coaches in a short period of time. And we're looking at CJ now. This is going to be year four, and he's been in two systems and had two different coordinators and now a new quarterback coach. How big is it on the OC in this, or the person working directly with him, to get him in the best position possible in terms of his feel, his confidence, and everything?
Yeah, the OC's the play caller. I don't know that he's necessarily his position coach, obviously, but, you know, you've got to every single week sit down, go through the game plan. What are you comfortable with? What are you not? Are you comfortable with us calling it this? All the way down to that minuscule aspect of things. And they've got to be like fingers in a glove on the same page every single week in order for it to work out. Because if CJ's feeling some way about Kaylee and Kaylee's feeling some way about that tension's going to show up, and it usually shows up on game day. And then we're asking the questions about what's going on with that dynamic. And so I think you acquiesce to the quarterback. Mm. If he is the guy and you believe him to be that way, then you have to acquiesce to him and what he feels the most comfortable with. Not what you're comfortable calling, but what he's comfortable running.
Andre, I'm just curious because you were talking about
your
time.
Man, that got me. I'm sorry. That did it for me.
It was good.
I've been screaming that for weeks. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You just had a moment.
I'm sorry, man. I've been doing a lot of radio.
That felt spiritual, honestly.
I'm just saying. Somebody say it. Jesus.
That's why you're the man. He's a Heisman winner.
Have him handing balls off and throwing. Come on, man. He's got to be involved in this. I'm sorry.
And with that, you know, he's got to take some ownership in it as well. And, you know, at some point, he's 4 years in now. He's the quarterback of this team. Now he has a voice in what should be run and what shouldn't be. Maybe he took a backseat to that with it being a first-year play caller, first-year offensive scheme that was coming in last year. But, you know, once they acquiesce to what he wants, now it's on CJ. And I'm not saying that he doesn't bear any burden in this deal, but certainly I think the play caller right out of the gate should be acquiescing to him.
I'm just curious about your time, because you started talking about your time in Detroit. What for you were the things in all of these switches that made you personally comfortable? Where did you end up leaning on in those time periods?
Reggie, I don't know if I ever got comfortable, to be quite honest. We had a situation. I tell this story kind of jokingly, but it was serious, and I haven't heard of it since I left Detroit. But we had a guy that when Wayne wanted to run the football, he would have Dave Levy, who was on the sideline, our offensive line coach, call the runs. And then when he wanted to pass, he had Charlie Sanders, our receivers coach, upstairs calling his best pass play for the situation. And that's how we ran offense in the NFL. I've never heard of it since then, and I certainly have never heard of it in college. You've got a play caller, and that guy sits down, studies, comes up with a game plan. You can go to him and ask him questions. How the hell are you going to go into two offices and ask, you know, what runs, what best runs versus this fit, and then get to have some time left over to get to where the passing game matters and get to the receiver coach? Because at that one particular year, we did not have an offensive coordinator. We actually had two by default.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, I don't know how you get comfortable with that. I'll give you that, man. Everybody,
hey, it makes me squirm. It makes me squirm just even thinking about it. You know, this is 30, you know, years later, and you look back on it, it's like, how did they think that was going to work?
I mean, Andre,
when it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You know it is, obviously, you do. The situation for these quarterbacks and these players is as important as almost anything. It's Patrick Mahomes if he doesn't go to Andy Reid and everything that they have there, right? What does Deshaun Watson look like if he went to Andy Reid and everything they had there, which, you know, it's just situation is such a big deal. All right, real quick, in this offseason, it looks like they have really put a real onus on this offensive line and running the football, bringing in multiple new starters, bringing in David Montgomery as what it looks like the lead back. And to be honest, even through the Slowick years, and with the exception of Joe Mixon, they seem to have struggled to run the football consistently around CJ. Your thoughts, do you feel confident that this is a year and a group that they can run the football with?
I certainly hope so. I mean, on paper, it looks as though that's the case, and they should be better in that department. But, you know, what do you do when teams start to load the box? It's one thing to want to do it, and it's one thing to have success doing it. But we all know that in the NFL, that's the things that you do well are the things other teams want to take away from you. And so what do you do if you know, when that happens. Is this going to be an offensive line, yes, that can run block, but can they pass protect? And so you're going to get loaded boxes, and you're putting it out there before the season even starts that that's what you want to do. So that's what you're going to see early in the season, loaded boxes. How do you react to that? Those types of things. And so with that being said, I hope so. I think on paper it certainly looks like a better group overall. Even the depth of this offensive line is impressive with the signings in the offseason. But the one thing about that particular grouping, it's the most important on any football team as a group, because they all have to be in sync. They got to trust each other. They've got to hand off blocks and reach the second level. All the intricacies of playing those positions is why it's so important. I mentioned fingers in a glove earlier. Those five guys certainly have to be in sync. And I think the preseason, training camp, all that stuff will prove itself.
We're talking to Andre Ware, the Heisman winner, and, of course, the analyst that you hear every Sunday on Texans radio here on Sports Radio 610. Which is more valuable to you as a quarterback? Is it the center who can make the plays, make the calls, and make the IDs, but might be a little light in the butt? Or is the kid who is, you know, physical enough to actually do some of the you know, the actual dirty work of it, but might be a little bit light on the understanding of the league and the position?
It's always been center for me, that you got to have a unique relationship with that guy as a quarterback. You've got to have complete trust. If he's making the offensive line calls, or if, you know, he's going to trump you as you make a call, and then he sees something else, and you have trust that it's a better way to get it done. And then if it's not, you certainly talk about it on Monday or Tuesday as you're going over the film together. But it's always, for me, been that. I've always had a great relationship. Kevin Glover in Detroit, Byron Forsythe and William Gant when I was at the University of Houston. Those guys were extremely important. And you see the game, especially in the box, the same way, or you should see it the same way. And you've got to be on the same page.
All right. Our guy, Andre Ware, as you know, you hear him every Sunday here, but you also hear him on Saturdays. And I did want to get you out on this. You cover a lot of the Big 12, and I am really curious. What did you make of the Brendan Sorsby situation and with Texas Tech and how that all went down? Because, I mean, they were going to fight to the end to try to get him on the field.
Yeah, they were. And I've had some sidebar conversations with some personnel types at Texas Tech. And from the very beginning, I thought Brendan Sorsby should have been suspended and not allowed to play. When you bet on games and games at your team that you're currently on, then you continue it at your next stop. And then I think I read where he did a little bit of gambling while he was at Texas Tech before he was found out. Kind of leads me to believe that had they not caught him, he would still be gambling. And so I thought from the very beginning that this is something that they've got to cut out of college football. If it takes making an example of a guy, well, hey, you put yourself in that position by continuously betting. He knew it was wrong when you had bets being placed by friends and whomever else was doing it on his behalf, which probably ended up rolling over on him, which is how he got himself into all of this. But I thought from the very beginning that he should have been suspended, and I think it all played out the way it should have.
It's interesting for me. Do you think it's a good thing, or like, yeah, do you think it's a good thing that the way that we saw the rest of college football, and particularly the Big 12, link up against the Texas Tech attempt to play, have Brendan Sorsby play? Because obviously, like, they kept this at bay, but it makes me feel like the NCAA's authority really only goes as far as the member institutions are willing to allow it to go.
Yeah, but Brett Yormark, they've got great leadership in him as the commissioner of the Big 12. He is phenomenal. And so I think once forced that they were going to fight this to the end, I don't think that had they not taken, they being the Big 12, taken the stance that they took, we might still be talking about this. And Sorsby may still be at Tech. But at some point when they started to file a countersuit and continue on, that they were going to put up this fight and maybe not allow him to play until everything played itself out in the court. Who knows how long that would have taken? And so, you know, it all, like I mentioned, it all kind of worked out in the best way possible for the entities, and I'm talking about Texas Tech as well as the Big 12. Now, Sorsby has got to obviously wait until 2027. It goes to show you how bad it is when Canada, the Canadian Football League, steps in and says, you cannot come here and play. So that's what put a seal of the stamp of approval on it for me. It's like, yeah, those guys in Canada, they get it right a lot of times.
They didn't even want the attention.
They said, don't bring that nonsense over here.
No. That is crazy. Andre, we appreciate you, man, for joining us on this day. By the way, you can go on our auction page. And the autographed Andre Ware University of Houston helmet. There are some bids there, and you can top it until 5:30. So go ahead and do that if you want to put that in your man cave. Again, Andre, we appreciate you taking the time out.
Guys, anytime. Like I said, I commend you guys. A guy that has done radio on or sports radio. Going 4 hours, I don't know how the hell sometimes we got through the fourth hour. But you guys going 12, boy, you guys are champions in my book.
Hey, right, it's guys like you hopping in here that makes it possible. Otherwise, just listening to us talk for 12, my goodness.
All right, thank you.
That's awesome, guys. Keep up the good work.
Yes, all right, sir, appreciate yes, sir. That's Andre Ware, Heisman Trophy winner, and the analyst that you hear on Texans Radio every Sunday here on Sports Radio 610. Again, you can text Radiothon 26 to 71777. Let's go. Come on, baby.
We still got a price match going? A donation match
We
right
still
now.
Got a donation match.
Thanks
That's
to
right.
our thanks to A1 Check Cash, and they're matching for the top period, so get in there. I mean, there's still items in here that don't have a single bid. You can put yourself in a really good spot. I mean, honestly, get in here on the Area 45 dinner, man. Catch up with Sean Bajani. In fact, Patrick Creighton, who we will catch up with here in a second. You want to hang out with those guys. Those guys know how to have a lot of fun, and they definitely talk some great football, baseball, all sorts of stuff.
That's right. Olivia, shout out to Olivia, who just made a donation here, and you can make a donation to help the Houston Food Bank just like Olivia did by texting Radiothon 26 to 71777. We'll continue right here on Sports Radio 610 for the Reggie and Ron.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.